Hallelujah. Please take your seats. Hallelujah. Faithful God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 2017. In Harvest Church, it's a year of expansion. Amen. Amen. But I know that for every single person, God has something great for them this year. Amen. Amen. How many people believe that? Hallelujah. Can I ask you a question? Who here, right, has been believing God for something and you're just thinking, it's taking so long? Put up your hands. Okay, I'll ask the question another way. Who is here who hasn't been believing God for something for so long? I'm like, every time you're believing God for something, you just come straight like that. Hallelujah. So all of us, amen. Hallelujah. But we trust God, amen. He's faithful. Hallelujah. You know this scripture, Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the plans that I have for you. Amen. Amen. Declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. How many people know that scripture? Please put up your hands if you know. Amen. I know that scripture. We all know that scripture. But you know what? In life sometimes, it's not what we know that matters. It's what we do with what we know. So one of the most dangerous phrases that we have is, I know that already. Amen? Because so many times we know some things already, but then we hear it again. So if we're hearing something again, it means God has a reason for wanting us to hear it again. Amen? So say to your neighbor, neighbor, it doesn't matter that you know it already. Listen to what God is saying. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God has a plan for each one of us. Amen. And God has a promised land for each one of us. If you believe that, just wave. God is taking me to a promised land. Amen. Amen. Say that. Say, God is taking me to my promised land. And you know what? God has a plan. So just tap your neighbor and say, God has a plan for you. God has a plan. He has a plan to get us to our promised land. Amen. And sometimes as human beings, we think we know better than God, right? We think we can get there faster. Amen. Some of us, yeah, so is it just me thinking sometimes I think I can get there faster? Do you know what? God has a plan. Remember when God rescued the children of Israel, right? He had a plan. He was taking them to Canaan's land, okay? He was taking them to the promised land. God is not like us. Sometimes we have plans, we have goals, we want to do something, but we don't have a plan of action. I have been wanting to learn to swim. No, not learn to swim. I have been wanting to swim for the past, I don't know, maybe 20, 30 years. I'm the only one in my family that can't swim. Yes, and I've been wanting to swim for a long time, but no plan of action. I'm just believing that one day I would wake up, and just, you know, the anointing to swim will just hit me like that. How many of us are like that? Yeah, sometimes we're just hoping that it will hit us, and we will. I remember a few years ago, we went to Orlando, we were in this water park. I got all the way up to the water park and then realized it was one of those ones where you have to come down head first. And I couldn't swim. And I was looking, I couldn't go back. The queue was too long. And every member of my family, they had gone ahead of me. You know, in your time of need, God is your helper. Do not look to man. So what happened was I got there and I'm thinking, I can't swim. I'm going to come head down. So go into the pool of water. I'm thinking, I'm going to drown. Anyway, basically, they all left me behind and went off. And I got down. I had to go down the slide. And I got to this pool of water. Listen, it doesn't matter what other people think. What you think matters. The pool of water was this high. But then I know that I was drowning in that pool of water. I was drowning. And then eventually my husband, for better or for worse, he forgot me. He went off to the next ride. Fortunately, my son suddenly remembered he had a mom, looked round, and there was I battling for my life. And I was like, "Mom, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm drowning. Can't you see? I'm drowning. And that day, how many years ago was that? About 5 years ago, I'm still believing God that I will swim. So that it doesn't happen to me. But you know what? God is not like that. God has a plan. Amen? And when God has a plan for us, he will get us to that final destination. Amen? Okay. Remember Abraham's father. Abraham's father. Genesis 11, 31 to 32. He had a plan of action. He took his family members one day and he decided they were going to go to Canaan. Okay? They started the journey. The Bible says that he got to heaven and he dwelt there. And he stayed there. And verse 32 says that he died there. He never got to Canaan. Amen? So I want you to just nudge your neighbor. I'm not going to be telling you to hit anyone. Nudge your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you have to get to the promised land." Tell them, "You must get to your promised land." Just, you know, nicely say, "You must get to your promised land." In the name of Jesus. God has a plan. And sometimes God, you know, God's plans, the Bible says his ways are not our ways. Amen? His ways are not our ways. Remember when God rescued the children of Israel? They were in bondage for a number of years. But you know when God took them out? He took them out and he loaded them with gold. Yes? Remember he had asked them to go and ask their Egyptian masters for items of gold. So when they came out loaded with gold, like Pastor P says. Like they came loaded with gold. So God had a plan. Remember, God was taking them to the land of Canaan. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, right? But he still decided that they were not going to come out of that pain, years of pain and hardship and toil. They were not going to come out empty-handed. They were going to go to their promised land loaded in the name of Jesus. And it doesn't matter what it is that you've gone through in the past. The Lord is saying to someone today, you're coming out fully loaded. You're coming out fully loaded with benefits. You're coming out fully loaded with blessings in the name of Jesus. He's not going to take you empty-handed. You know that pain, that hardship that you went through is not for nothing. Amen? You're coming out. Amen? Say to your neighbor, "I'm coming out. I'm coming out fully loaded in the name of Jesus." And if we go to, we're going to read Exodus right now, chapter 13. I want to pick up from here. When God rescued the children of Israel, he was taking them to the land of Canaan. And hear what God has to say here. Exodus chapter 13. Hallelujah, verse 17. He says here, "Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near." That was shorter. He says, God did not lead them down that way. "For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea." Amen. So God, it was obvious that there was a shortcut. How many of us like shortcuts? You know, there's traffic, you know, you can see the queue all the way around, and you know that if you turn around, go this way, go that way, you'll get there faster. How many people do that? Yes. But sometimes what happens to you? You find that you take that shortcut, and then the traffic is worse than where you were coming from. Hallelujah. So shortcuts sometimes don't work. So right now, I just want you to pinch your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, neighbor, no shortcuts." Because shortcuts don't always work. I mean, the Lord said it. The Lord said, yes, indeed, there's a shortcut here. But lest these people see war and they decide to go back to Egypt. The one place God doesn't want us to go back to is Egypt. So slap your neighbor slightly and say, don't go back to Egypt. Don't go back to Egypt. There is no going back. Amen? Amen. We're not going back to Egypt. Amen. Amen. So whatever Egypt represents, God has rescued us from that. And we're not going back to Egypt. In Jesus' name. Amen. So God decided that he was going to take them through a longer route. And it was by way of the wilderness. Hallelujah. So why did God do this? God, for starters, God didn't want them to go back to Egypt. And then you think about it. These people had been slaves for years. Hard labor. I mean, so weak. They had been oppressed. And God just thought, look, if they see war, I mean, they're not equipped. They're mentally, emotionally, they're not ready for war. And so they will want to go back. You know what? God knows what battles we're not prepared to face. He knows it. And so sometimes in our lives, you know, when he's taking us around the long route, it's for a purpose. You know that scripture says, for I know the plans that I have for you. He really does know. Amen. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the God who knows the end from the beginning. He knows what the final outcome is going to be. And he knows that if you go this way, you won't make it. So therefore, he says, go the long route. Because although you're going the long route, you're going to end up making it. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are all going to make it in Jesus' name. Put up your hand and say, I will make it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And then there's some reasons why God takes us round the long route. He doesn't want us to face war. He knows we're not ready for it. But then also, you know what? God also wanted, the Bible says that he wanted the Egyptians to know that he was God. He wanted to demonstrate his glory. You know, God loves drama. He loves drama. And some of us, you know, for every single person who likes drama here, just know and believe that you have been made in the image of God. Hallelujah. If you're dramatic, it's fine. That's how God loves drama. Hallelujah. He loves drama. So when God wants to do what he wants to do, he does it using drama. Think about it. God rescued the children of Israel from Egypt. I mean, easily God could have poured down sulfuric acid and thunder and everything and made sure that Pharaoh and his soldiers do not come after the Israelites, right? He could easily have done it, but God said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart so that he comes after my people, so that I will gain glory for myself. Exodus 14. Let me just quickly read that. Exodus 14, 4. He says, then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. So sometimes when you see your enemies, whatever it is that signifies an enemy, some hardship pursuing you, know that God has a plan. He has a plan. He has a plan. He says, I will let Pharaoh pursue them. I will harden his heart. Let Pharaoh pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. So God waited, caused them to pursue them, and then they got to the river. Obviously, the children of Israel crossed over, right? You know, the Bible says he prepares a table before us, in the presence of our enemies. Now, what God wanted to accomplish was for the Egyptians to know that he is Lord. And of course, by the time they got into the middle of the Red Sea and stuff was happening, they knew that the Lord was fighting for the Israelites. Amen. But then you know that what happened? They all drowned. But guess who else saw this? Guess who else saw God manifest his power and his glory? Who else saw this? The children of Israel. The Israelites saw their God. The Israelites saw their God part the Red Sea. The Israelites saw the enemies drown. Hallelujah. God manifested his power and his glory in such an amazing way. Unforgettable. Amen? Amen. So that was another thing. So when God wants us to go through the wilderness, there is always a reason for it. Hallelujah. So when we have a long journey to go on, just know there's a reason for this. And there's something God wants to do. There's something God wants to accomplish. There's something for me to learn. Amen. Hallelujah. Think about it. It was in the wilderness that he provided manna, parted the Red Sea, they tapped the rock, water gushed out. They saw miracle upon miracle upon miracle. Amen. So when we're in the wilderness, if we're not focused on the inconveniences in the wilderness, we will see miracle upon miracle in the name of Jesus. Amen. So miracle. So right now, if you're in any kind of wilderness, just ask the Lord to show you miracles. Amen. Because that's what will happen. Amen. Okay. And you know what? Our attitude in the wilderness determines how long we stay in the wilderness. Remember when God brought out the children of Israel? Although it was a long route, it was going to be a long journey. That journey was meant to take 11 days. Hallelujah. 11 days. And it took the children of Israel how long? 40 years. Please, you know, we're a neighbor's keeper. So sometimes we have to just teach each other and encourage each other. So I want you to just grab your neighbor by the hand and look at them eyeballs and just squeeze their hand tightly and say, learn that lesson quick. Learn that lesson quick. Because our attitude in the wilderness determines how long we stay there. Amen. Do you remember Joseph? Joseph had a dream. He was going to be the head. Everyone was going to be bound out to him. He saw that dream again and again. He got there in the end. How long did it take him to get there? A long time. And he went through so much toil and so much hardship. And easily, Joseph had a choice. He could have chosen to be disappointed at God. He could have chosen to be offended permanently at his brothers. I mean, so many, many, many ways that could have gone. But Joseph chose the right way, the right attitude. Every wilderness that we go through is a test. Amen? Say to your neighbor, neighbor, that wilderness is a test. Amen. Deuteronomy 8 verse 2 clearly says it. I'll read that out quickly. 8 verse 2. It says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way this 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. So when we're in the wilderness, our heart, the state of our heart shows up. Let me tell you something. You know, no matter what, you know, rich or poor, like, you know, Sarah was doing the offering talk this morning. The widow had two mites. She gave all she had. The rich man had plenty. He gave nothing. You know, whether poor or rich, sick or well, you are who you are. So, you know, that situation will just magnify who you are. If you are a miser, you are a miser whether you're poor or rich. You know, when you're rich, you still will not give. If you are a mourner, if you are a whinger, whatever it is that you are. So even if you're going through a wilderness experience, if you're someone who has the joy of the Lord in their hearts, someone who has a great attitude, no matter what you're going through, you're still praising the Lord. If you are a whinger, you'll say, oh my gosh, if things were a little bit better, then I'll praise the Lord. No, you really wouldn't. We are who we are no matter what. And every wilderness is a test. So what we need to ensure that we do is we pass our test. Amen. Amen. You know when you go to school and you have an exam, if you do the test and you don't pass the test, what happens? You get to repeat. You get to do it again. How many people want to do it again and again and again and again? How many people? Please put up your hands. No. Nobody wants to do it again. We want to pass our test. Amen? And we want to pass our test in flying colors. I remember when I was growing up, and I bet a lot of people can attest to this. Our parents back then, I remember my friends who used to have the same story. Our parents back then, every time they would say, you know what? Every exam, I came first. Every exam, I came out first. I mean, like, literally all my friends' parents came first. So who is lying? Everyone, it's impossible for that, really and truly, that generation, my parents' generation, every single one of them will tell you, we came first. We were first in class. So all of you were first. Who came second? Who came last? Not true. But we are going to make sure we pass our test. Amen. And so when we're going through the wilderness, there are some things to do and not to do. I'm going to ask for help, please. Mommy, please come out. I need 6 volunteers. Molly, please come. Prof, please come. I need 3 more, please. Aunt Jen, please come. Yes, 6. So the things to do and not to do. And you know when you pass your test, driving test, you get a green, P green. If you're a learner, you're still on red, right? So the things that we need to make sure we do not do when we are in the wilderness. The first one right here. We must not fear. Do not fear. And you know what? Sometimes it's easier said than done. I'm going to go through it and then I'll come back and just... The second one is do not faint. Yes? And the third one is do not forget. Okay? Do not fear. When you're in the wilderness, and that's easier said than done, because there are times when you're going through stuff and it's so hard, it's so tough, and you're thinking, Lord, what's going on here? But he says, do not fear. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear. I am with you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And sometimes, like I said, it's easier said than done. I'll share a testimony. My husband went through this 8-9 hours of surgery last year, September. And when he came out, he was in ICU, intensive care unit. This husband, my tall, dark, handsome guy, is hoping I'll just kind of leave him alone. But here, he was in ICU when he came out of the 9-hour surgery. They took him into ICU, and we didn't quite know where he was. So anyway, they eventually gave us the ward details. And I remember walking into ICU, because that's 6 months before that, I will share. 6 months before my husband was in hospital, my best friend had just died. Died in that same hospital. She was in a coma for 2.5 weeks, and they eventually had to switch off all the life support and everything. But then she was in ICU. She was in the same Royal Free Hospital where my husband was having the surgery. And then we came out into ICU, and I went towards where he was going to be. I walked through, and my husband was in this, he was on the same bed, the same ward, the same bed. I mean, what are the odds? I mean, there are 3 different ICU units in Royal Free, the East Wing, West Wing, and North Wing. But then there were also 45 different beds in that ward. But my husband was on the same bed. And I was looking at him, and you know how the enemy will torment you with fear. Fear. Like, oh my gosh, what does this mean? Oh my goodness, my friend was here. She didn't come out alive. What does this mean? What do you do when push comes to shove? And really, truly, most of the time, the battle is here first. If we don't win the battle here, we're gone. So it's the thoughts that the enemy throws into our heads. Immediately, I was like, Father, what am I... What is this? And immediately, you know how the Bible says, take every thought captive. And it literally means you run after it, you take it, you grab it, and you put it back in its right place. And I just said, you know what? Actually, yeah, it's a good place. That is the best place for my husband to be. Because, listen, Father, thank you. That place, we prayed and prayed and prayed. We released the angels of God. We released the anointing of God. We released the healing power of God. And I'm sure that place is the most prayed up spot in this hospital. It definitely is. It's the most prayed up spot. It has to be. So therefore, for him to be there, oh my goodness, the harvest of prayers is going to descend on my husband. He's coming out. In fact, he's going to come out faster than they said he's going to come out. That was the battle won. And to the glory of God, they said he'll be there within 24 to 48 hours. Within a few hours, they said he could come out. He came out. Hallelujah. Come on. Sorry. This is a short testimony. Look at it. It's a testimony. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because honestly, really honestly, it was a life and death issue. You know, okay, I'm broke today, I'm broke tomorrow. It's still okay. You can still find something. But when it's a life and death issue, what do you do? Amen. You take the thought. It doesn't matter. Take that thought captive. So do not fear. One, do not faint. Don't. Because, you know, it's a long journey. Just keep going on. Just look, keep going for. Keep. Just keep holding on to God and keep going. You might not see the end of the road, but just keep trusting God. Just that scripture. For I know the plans that I have for you. He has a good plan for me. I'm going to keep holding on. Just keep holding on. Don't faint. He says it. If you faint in the day of trouble, your strength is small. Hallelujah. Say to your neighbor, show them your muscles. Say, my strength is big in Jesus' name. Amen. And this one, Galatians 6:9 says, do not grow weary while doing good, because in due season you will reap your reward. So do not. And then do not forget. Don't forget. Do not forget the goodness of the Lord. I mean, the children of Israel at one time were saying, oh, let us go back to Egypt. We could eat meat in Egypt. You want to go back to Egypt? Really? Have you forgotten what you went through in Egypt? Have you forgotten the pain? You want to go back to Egypt? Oh, okay. Do not forget the goodness of the Lord. Psalms 103 says, forget not all of his benefits. Did you forget that the Lord parted the Red Sea? He provided manna. How can you forget the fact that we are alive, we're well, we can see, we can talk today? Come on. Hallelujah. That is the goodness of the Lord. He has brought us through too many things. Don't forget. Remember what he did the last time. Remember, remember, remember. Amen. Hallelujah. And the things to do. Persevere. Hold on. Just make sure you persevere. You have to. Our lives really depends on it. Amen. And the scripture there is James 1:12. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life. So when we endure, those benefits are waiting for us. Amen. And Romans 5:3 also talks about when we rejoice in our sufferings. It's hard sometimes to rejoice in our sufferings, but that's what the Bible says we should do. Amen. So put up your hands. I'm going to rejoice. In the name of Jesus. The next one we need to do is always, we pray. Hallelujah. Pray. Pray. If you don't know what you're doing, what's going on, pray. Pray. If you can speak in tongues, your heavenly language, it's the best time. Because sometimes you don't even know how the words to pray. So you just keep speaking. You speak in tongues. You speak. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So praying with all prayer and supplications, Ephesians 6:8 says, and then Jeremiah 29:12 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Put up your hand and says, God is listening to me. Say, I have his direct line number. His number is never engaged. There is never any network failure. I have access to my Father in the name of Jesus. He listens to my every word. Hallelujah. And then praise. Praise. Praise like you don't know what you're doing. Praise the Lord at all times. You know, the Bible says his praise will continually be on my lips. Praise, praise, praise. Praise is a weapon. The enemy cannot stand praise. The Bible says he inhabits. He lives there. I mean, this is he and he camps there. He inhabits the praises of his people. It's permanent residence. Amen. So praise the Lord at all times, no matter what is going on. Listen, sometimes it's hard to praise, okay? And you know, like I said, we know what to do. We know it already. I know that already. You know, sometimes I know that I should praise, but I don't feel like praising. Listen, you have to. Your should must turn to must. I must praise. Not I know I should praise. No, I must praise. And so what you do is practically get a praise song. Put it on. Listen, even if you don't want to praise, the moment that praise song comes, it will get into your spirit. And before you know it, you're praising the Lord. So you praise your way into Canaan's land. In the name of Jesus. And listen, when God does when God finishes what he's doing with you, you will look back and say, wow. Joseph looked back and said, look, you meant it for evil. But God had a plan. God always has a plan. Say to your neighbor, just listen, neighbor, I might not understand God's plan, but I know he has a plan. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, I know he has a plan for me. Come on. God has a plan specifically for me. Taylor made my name written on it. Me plan. Trust me, okay? It's okay. You guys can please stand. Thank you so much. You can see it. Hallelujah. Amen. So God has a plan for each one of us. And I'm going to close with this scripture, Psalms 126. Because this is what the Lord is going to do in all of our lives. He says that when the Lord released the captives of Israel, Caleb, when he released the captives of Israel, he says we were like those who dreamed. Hallelujah. I don't think you guys understand. You know, whatever it is you're going through or whatever you will go through, when the Lord turns it around, and you know what? That is a given. It's definite. He will turn it around because he has a plan. Amen. He says, when the Lord released the captives of Israel, we were like those who dream. You know when you're sleeping and you're dreaming? And then you're thinking, oh, am I dreaming? And then I'm not dreaming. We were like those who dreamed. He says, our mouth was filled with laughter. Listen, guys, I want you to practice your laughter right now. So laugh. Practice your laughter. Practice. You know, even that, you know, sometimes you don't feel like laughing. If you fake that laughter, fake it. Listen, when you fake it, your brain picks it up and then she's not meant to be happy, but she's happy. And then that's it. So everybody, fake your laughter, fake it. It says, our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said amongst the nations, the Lord has done great things for us. The Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. Please rise to your feet and declare it in the name of Jesus. Declare it right now. Lift up your hands to Jesus and praise him for all that he has done. Forget not all of his benefits. Praise him for all that he has done. He has been good. He has been faithful. He has been loving. He has been kind. God has been good and always will be good. Always will be good. Always will be good. Father, we thank you. Lord, Psalms 126 goes ahead and says, then they said it amongst the nations. Father, you will do such a work in all of our lives that they will say it amongst the nations that the Lord has done great things for them. And we too will stand up and we will testify of the goodness of our God. We give you thanks, oh God. We give you honor. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray.